So open our Bibles together this morning, Genesis chapter 22. We're going to be looking at about three or four chapters here in the book of Genesis, starting in chapter 20. But for our text today, we are going to read a part of Genesis chapter 22. Continuing our series in the book of Genesis, this is our ninth lesson in this series. I'm thankful for it. We've started at the very beginning of mankind. And we see there in the book, very beginning of the book, the creation of God. And with these reminders, and as we go through the history of the Bible, there's so much practical application for us in our everyday life. And just the reminder we have there in Genesis 1, that the God that we have a relationship with is a God that spoke this world into existence. And with an understanding of that truth, and not just understanding it and knowing it, but taking time and thought to recognize who your God is and what he's capable of, and what an incredible encourager of your faith that should be, and your trust in God, knowing that the one that has told you that he wants all your needs to be cast upon him, and he can strengthen you to live the Christian walk, knowing that that's the same God that created this world, should only strengthen and encourage your walk with him and your service to him. And we see the story of Adam and Eve there, and the fall of man, and how the Bible tells us because of that we all have the curse of sin on us. But also in that story, seeing the grace of God and the only way to eternal life in heaven, which is through Christ Jesus and the sacrifice that was made for us. And we look into the story of Noah, and we see the complete obedience and then somewhat blind obedience that Noah had, knowing, I don't understand all these things, but whatever God commanded me, that's what I'm going to do. And what an incredible testimony that was in Noah's life. And since then we've been in the story here of Abraham. And there's so many different things that we've seen from his life. The unconditional promises of God. And we look throughout Abraham's life, the choices that he made through God approaching him and choosing him. There wasn't much special about Abraham compared to many other men there at the time. But God chose a normal man to do an incredible work. And we look throughout the story knowing even though Abraham made mistakes, even though Abraham sinned against God and didn't trust him as he should at times, God still fulfilled his promises and still chose to use Abraham and to bless him as he did. And we see a lot, we've had a couple lessons on the story going back and forth with Lot and Abraham. And how Lot chose what looked good to him in his eyes, but Abraham chose to trust the God who is the possessor of all things. And knowing that nothing that he could ever choose would truly be his, knowing it was God's, that he knew that God, as he was faithful to his promises, would provide everything he could ever need. And we saw the choice that the results of the choice that was made for both of those men. Abraham became very wealthy, had everything he could need. And we find Lot pitching his tent towards Sodom and where that took him. And how Abram had to go rescue him at some point. And then we find Lot dwelling within the city as we looked at last week. And in that story, seeing the complete destruction of his family and the end of that story, how sad it is. And knowing that when we do not focus on what God has for us or on his will or on trusting in him, and we trust in ourselves and in our flesh, the same thing could happen to us in our life. And we need to make sure that in every decision we make, that we are looking to God for help in making that decision, that every day that we live, we're looking to God for the strength we need to be the person that he has us to be and to do the things that he's called us to do. And with that help, we know that God will help, God will provide, God will strengthen us as we need strengthened. As we look here today, we're looking at some more things going on in Abraham's life and specifically some tests of faith that we find here and just some more human nature here in the beginning of what we're going to be studying. And then we see the testing of his faith with his son Isaac here in Genesis chapter 22. We'll begin reading there in verse 1. It says, And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went into the place of which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son Isaac. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Let's pray. Lord, I love you, God. I thank you for the day you've given us. Lord, I thank you so much for the privilege it is just to have a copy of your word in our hands today. And God, with that privilege, I pray, God, that we are here ready, God, to receive what it is you have for us to receive from your word. God, that as we look in these passages together, Lord, that you would maybe open our eyes to something we haven't seen before, maybe remind us of some things that we've forgotten or stopped thinking about and looking to for help. God, with these reminders, with what we're going to get from your word, I pray that you do work in each and one of our hearts. Strengthen us, God, to be the Christians that you'd have us to be. We ask all this in your name. Amen. As we look back here at the beginning of the passage that we're looking at today, we look back in Genesis chapter 20, if you would. Just take a couple chapters back there, Genesis chapter 20. And we see there in verse 1, it says, And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, She is my sister, and Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. This is shortly after what had taken place there with Lot, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham had journeyed towards the south to get away from there and dwelled in Kadesh and Shur. And we see, as he arrives there, that he repeats the same sin he committed about 20 years earlier in Egypt. And we look at the story there in I believe it was chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12, when we find that story. And we're just thinking, come on, Abraham, why would you do this? God just promised you. Why are you making this mistake? And then we see how God helped him, how God reminded him that he was always there to help, to provide for him, to do what he needed him to do. And then in the same exact place here, Genesis chapter 20, after witnessing the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, seeing the power of God, falls into the same trap again there in Genesis chapter 20. And we see that fear and that cowardice that overtook his faith again. And as we look at that, we get a little frustrated, but we can look at our own life and see some fear and cowardice that arises in our life as well. And there's been times in our life where we know God has called us to do something, or some times that a trial has come up, or a temptation has come, or some stronghold has risen up in your life, and we may be fearful, we may feel a lack of strength to make it through those things. And we do remember, just like God promised Abraham he would help him and strengthen him, we need to not let ourselves fall into the same track we find Abraham falling into. You know, lack of faith is a sin. We look in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, and we have words there in these Proverbs, these things of wisdom that we need to have. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not into thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And we look there in the book of Proverbs. We know we are to trust God, and we know that in all our ways we should acknowledge God. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, as we see there in the book of Philippians. In all things, in every experience of life, in every trial, every testing, every good day, look to God. Trust in God with all our heart. Acknowledge him in every area of your life. No matter how small it may be, no matter how big it may be, acknowledge God in all those things. And the Bible says, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7 of Proverbs chapter 3 says, Be not wise in thine own eyes. We look at Abraham here in Genesis chapter 20. Abraham was aware of the land that he had come into. He was aware of what could happen to a man that had a beautiful wife and a king that could do anything he wanted, could take that wife for himself. And Abraham, in his earthly wisdom, saw here that he could get into trouble. And because of his earthly wisdom, in his own eyes, he saw some earthly wisdom that he could probably exercise to save his life instead of fearing God and departing from evil and trusting in God and acknowledging God in every area of his life as he needed to. And we look here at this mistake that he made, and we know that sin can get us at any moment. That's why we find reminders in the Word of God and in the book of 1 Peter to be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't matter how strong you may feel on a particular day, you are still susceptible to sin. It doesn't matter how long it's been since you have fallen, or that stronghold has gotten a hold of your life. It doesn't matter how long it's been, you are still susceptible to that sin. So each and every day we need to acknowledge God in every area, trusting Him. You know, sin doesn't have an expiration date. And we look here in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham is a 100-year-old man. He's lived 100 years on earth at this point, and he fell into the same trap in all his earthly wisdom that he fell into just 20 years before. You know, there's a very clear thing we find in this passage. There will never be a time when we will be beyond falling. There's never a time where you'll be beyond falling. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. You know, there's some things that we can learn from Abraham here, just some practical things on maybe why he did what he did. And in our life, we need to be aware of some things so we don't fall into sin as well. One thing that we can do is never stop trusting God to take care of you. Never stop trusting God to take care of you in your life. You know, we saw what happened in Genesis chapter 12, and we see what happens here in Genesis chapter 20. We know that Sodom and Gomorrah was just destroyed, and he was there in the plain. I'm sure there's a lot of destruction there in the land, obviously, from what had taken place. And it looks like he was fleeing, looking for better opportunities here at this point in his life. We don't have proof of why he did what we did, but we can speculate that he was possibly trying to get away from Sodom and Gomorrah, get away from that area that had been burned up. We need to make sure that we don't get to a place in our life where we're no longer trusting God to take care of our needs, where we're no longer trusting God to give us the strength that we need to make it through these trials of life and these disasters, or we don't just pick up and run, but we look to God for guidance, for help, for strength. And if He prompts us to move, move. But if He doesn't, stay and trust Him to provide and to help. Never stop trusting. Never put ourselves in a place of temptation. You know, Abraham had a fear, obviously, that people always wanted his wife, evidently. You know, we see here in this passage that he knew he had a wife that was beautiful, and he had some insecurities there that anywhere he'd go, there were men that would want her for their wife, and they would possibly kill him and take her. And that was a fear, obviously, that we see Abraham having. And Abraham obviously was aware of what might happen if he went to this place. And he obviously was trying to make a decision in his earthly wisdom to protect himself from being killed. So there, Abraham could have possibly gone to a different place or stayed where he was at the time there in the land of Canaan. He could have stayed in those places and not gotten to the point where he knew he was going to lie again and not trust God. He could have stayed away from those temptation to do what he did there in Genesis chapter 20. You know, if we know that we have a problem in a given area, we're foolish to keep putting ourselves in that position. We need to never let our guard down. We need to be aware and vigilant, be sober. Look there at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. The Bible says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. We should never think that we're at a point where we will not sin. We should never think we're at a point where we're strong enough to make it through a certain situation on our own, but in all our ways, acknowledge Him. in all our ways seek his help. In all our ways depend on God to strengthen us, to help us. You know, as long as we live in the flesh, we will never be safe from sin. We'll never be safe from the attacks of the devil. We need to continue to depend on God, be filled with the Spirit each and every day of our life. You know, sin doesn't have an expiration date. Sin cannot overcome the grace of God as well. We saw that Abraham sinned, and we see him fall into this exact same place of not trusting God. But we also see the grace of God exercised here, overcoming the mistakes that Abraham made. And what an incredible promise and encouragement that is to us in our life. You know, even though Abraham is clearly out of the will of God at this point in his life, he's still enjoying the blessings of God. You know, we see that even though Abraham made this mistake, God still forgave him of his sins. We see a relationship restored in verse 17 of chapter 20. It says, so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. God made things right there and restored health to Abimelech and his family. We have the appearance of the forgiveness of God here at this point, and the relationship being restored as Abraham prayed. He forgave him of his sins. God will forgive you of your sins. We need to make sure that we do not hide iniquity in our heart. Because when that iniquity is in our heart, the relationship is not going to be what it needs to be. There will be separation between us and God and in our prayer life and in our relationship and him speaking to us as we desire him to speak to us. We need to make sure that if there is sin in our life, we take it to God. We confess those things to God and keep the relationship in a place where it needs to be. He forgave him of his sins. He protected him from harm. You look there in chapter 20 here early on, and we see all these things happen. And look at verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister. And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore I suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. We look there, God was protecting Abraham from harm. God protected them from the promise of God not being fulfilled possibly, and what could have happened there at that point, and God gave them what they needed. He fixed it for Abraham. He approached Abimelech, and we see in this passage that God takes adultery very seriously. We find evidence all throughout the Word of God, but even in this passage, Genesis chapter 20, it's a serious offense. We need to stay far from it. You know, and we look at Abraham, you know, the problem here was not a lack of fear of God in Abimelech, but a lack of faith in Abraham. You know, Abimelech clearly feared God as God approached him, he wanted to be righteous before God, and he did not want to do this wrong before God, but we see a great lack of faith in Abraham. Verse 11, it says, and Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. You know, Abraham could not see the end result of what God could do, so he chose to do what he thought was best in his flesh. There's an animal called the African impala, and they can jump a height over 10 feet. They can leap as far as 30 feet at times, and an incredible creature to watch run through the wild. But many times in a zoo or some kind of animal exhibit, these impalas can be held inside of a 3-foot wall. They see this obstacle in front of them that they could leap if it was 3 times the size that it is, but they see that in front of them and they do not see a way out on their own. You know, there's many times in our life that we find ourselves in the same spot. We have a God who is all-powerful, that has promised us his strength, that has promised us his help, that has promised us his grace, knowing that if we acknowledge him, he can direct our paths. We have a God who can help us in those things, but we see an obstacle in front of us, and we choose to hide, we choose to run, we choose to do what we think is our only option instead of looking at what God can enable us to do and looking to him for strength in those situations. There's a lack of faith in Abraham, and many times there's a lack of faith in our life, in our walk with God. Now, God protected Abraham from harm here. We also see, again, God blessed him financially. Look there at verse 14. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah, his wife. And Abimelech said, Behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all the other. Thus she was reproved. We look here. Abraham, again, just as we find him there in Genesis chapter 12, again, did not trust God, put his wife in this position, put himself in this position. And not only is he forgiven and sent away freely, but he is blessed with riches. We look in Genesis chapter 12, and there's so much wealth that Abraham got there in Egypt from Pharaoh. And we look here from Abimelech. He was given gifts as he was leaving. God blessed him financially, even when he messed up, even when there were many problems on Abraham's side, God still chose to bless him. It's just another incredible reminder that sin cannot overcome the grace of God. The long-suffering God and the promises that he made, he was keeping to Abraham. And God used this for his glory. Look at verse 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech. We see what God did at the end of this situation. We look at this passage. What does this teach us? Who we are in Jesus cannot be invalidated by our sin. An incredible thought that is. Who we are in Jesus cannot be invalidated by our sin. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 38. We have evidence, obvious evidence in the Word of God that God chastens his children. And when we do wrong, when we sin against God, we are susceptible to the chastening of God. But with that knowledge of the chastening of God, many of us as well could testify that there's been many times in our life when we were miles away from God and he still chose to bless you. Now, with that thought and with that reminder, should we sin? As we looked in the book of Romans, do we continue in sin that grace may abound? Do we still do that? The answer is no, God forbid. We should not choose to live in sin. We should not choose to live separate from what the Word of God commands us to live. But what a wonderful reminder it is that the grace of God is greater than our sin. In that, what a wonderful God he is, that he loves us enough that even when we have fallen, even when we have chosen against him, even when we have shown lack of faith in many instances of our life, he still provides, loves, and cares for us. Look at Romans chapter 8, there in verse 38. It says, For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. I think that covers everything you could possibly think of. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Are you persuaded of that? Paul was persuaded of it. Paul had experienced in his life that no matter where he was, no matter what trial he was facing, that God's love was still there. No matter what hardship was in his life, the love of God was still there. No matter what he had done in his past, God still loved him. Paul experienced the incredible grace of God, knowing he had been responsible for the murdering of all these Christians. But God still chose him to not only save him, but to use him in his service. To use him in such a great way. He wrote so much of the Word of God that we have. That's incredible proof of the love of God, of the grace of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Sin cannot overcome grace. What an incredible thought that is. As we continue on here, we have a few more chapters to go. Look at chapter 21. Very quickly, we'll just kind of fly through this chapter here. God rewards the faith of Abraham here in Genesis chapter 21. And we see God early on here fulfilling the promise of a son. It's many years after he had first promised, but God in his time gave them Isaac. And by what we see here, we need to remember that God's promises never fail. Not because of us, but because he's a faithful God. His promises never fail. He circumcised Isaac here in chapter 21, claiming the covenant of God as God had told him to do. Look here at verse 6, as this happened. It says, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Remember just a few chapters ago, as they came to them there in the desert, and they told him that within about 9 months they were going to have a son. And as that happened, Sarah laughed in her heart. They knew where her faith was. Here in this passage, we see her laughing, but it's not laughing in a mocking way or in a lack of unbelief. It's laughing with pure excitement and joy. You know, she laughed at first when she heard, but she ultimately came to trust God. Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. It's just a great verse here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, it says, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. You know, Sarah hadn't always judged God as faithful. Sarah hadn't always had trust in the Almighty God to do what he said he would do, but she came to a point in her life where her faith was so strong she was put in the hall of faith there in Hebrews chapter 11. What an incredible story that is for her. She judged God faithful. She finally got it. She finally got it. We need to make sure in our life that we don't give up on God. And if God has promised something, if God has called you to do something, if we have a guarantee in the Word of God that that will come to pass. And with the promises we have in the Word of God, we should also judge God faithful. We have no reason not to. We look in the Word of God and we have evidence of what he has already done. We look in our families. We look on how he saved us. We look at different things he's done. God has never done you wrong and he will not. And what he has promised, he will do. We need to judge God faithful as well. Let's continue on here in chapter 21. Look at verse 21. This is speaking here of Ishmael. There's some drama there in the family. Verse 20 actually, it says, and God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer, and he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. We see something happening here with Hagar and Ishmael. Some family drama had risen in the house of Abraham and Sarah, and we find here in chapter 21 around verse 8 that Ishmael was mocking Isaac and the ceremonies that were going on and all the ways he was being honored. Possibly a little bit of jealousy there, making fun of his younger brother. And Sarah, with what is going on, is angry at her son Ishmael. And she wants him and Hagar gone. And she makes this demand. And Abraham, there in verse 11, 13, around that area, is grieved at what is happening with his family. And how Sarah is upset with Hagar and wants Ishmael gone. And as he does this, God steps in there in verse 12. And he says, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman and all that Sarah hath said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. You know, Abraham is grieved at the idea, and God spoke to him here. And it seems that Abraham possibly would not have sent them away had not God stepped in at this point. And it was all part of God's plan. You know, we all know that in our life, our life can end up like this in many ways. We experience the blessings of God. We're enjoying our life. We're looking forward to what's coming up. We're thinking of the blessings of God and wondering how you got to this point. Then all of a sudden, there is a heartbreaking moment. All of a sudden, in the midst of this joy, in the midst of this victorious living, in the midst of the blessings of God, you run into this trial that just hits you in the face. catches you without knowing, without being aware of it coming. And as that temptation comes, or as that trial comes, as that difficulty or sickness, whatever it may be, comes, we're blindsided by it. And we have no other place but to look to God. We have no other place but to look to Him for help. And in those moments, we need to realize that those troubles will come. As we talked about on Wednesday night there with Jeremiah, we're not immune to trials or difficulties. But no matter what situation we're in, we still have a relationship and access to Almighty God. And we just need to trust Him. We need to look to Him for help. We need to accept it and remember who our God is in those times of life. That decision He made there to send them away was an act of obedience and also a lack of faith, knowing that God was going to do as He promised, and He did. If we get here to chapter 22, to the text we originally read with about 10 minutes left. We see the test there with Isaac. Here, when we get here, several years have passed since we last heard about Isaac. In verse 34 of chapter 21, it says, and Abraham's adjourned. Actually, yeah. I'm in the right place. Anyways, it's been many years, okay? Somewhere in there. We look at verse 1 and 2, and it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. He's speaking to him. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. In verse 3, and Abraham threw a fit. And Abraham said, no, we don't find anything like that. It says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. As we go through our life, there will be demands, instruction, calls, Holy Spirit prompting made on our lives by God. And there may be a time in your life that these demands or this instruction may cause you to have to sacrifice, may cause you to have to be uncomfortable for a while, may cause you to be personally affected in the decision that you know God has you to make. And even though we know that God will provide and God will help in our flesh, many times with these calls or with these promptings for some uncomfortable living, our flesh many times wants to rebel against that call of God or the instruction of God and to make a choice to please ourselves and our flesh. And we find Abraham with the decision that would have caused his flesh to feel a certain way. God came here to test Abraham's faith. We look there in verse 1, it says, and God did tempt Abraham. We know that God was not tempting him to sin. God was testing him and going to see what his response was going to be. And of all the things that Abraham experienced in his life, I believe this is the ultimate test here. His being asked to submit and sacrificed his dearest possession that he had. I could not imagine having to do the thing that Abraham did and the test of faith that would be. And Abraham didn't respond saying, God, you told me to send my one son off. I've already done what you've said. Why are you taking this one from me as well? He did what God told him to do. There are some practical things for us in this passage. And the first thing is that it involves a perception in the life of Abraham, and it would involve perception in the life of the Christian. We must be in position to hear God. And in order to be in a position to hear God, we must have a relationship with God. We look here in chapter 22 here, and we know that Abraham came to the Lord back in Genesis chapter 12. His conversion's revealed in Genesis chapter 15 as he looked to God and put his faith in Him, trusted in Him. And we know, obviously, we've talked about today, Abraham was not perfect, but he knew God. And there was a relationship with God, one that God could reveal Himself to Abraham and give him the message as He gave him. Abraham, no doubt, in his experiences of life, had gotten to know God better and better each and every year. And even in his most recent trial that he went through, having to send his son Ishmael and Hagar away at that point was another testing of his faith, but God continued to help and bless and strengthen him. There's a relationship that was needed with God for this obedience to take place. There was also a readiness in his heart that needed to be there for this to take place. You know, as soon as God speaks, Abraham responds with obedience. This implies to us that when God spoke, he listened. He wasn't in a place that when God approached him, he wasn't ready to hear from God. He was ready to hear the message, and when he heard it, he responded. When he heard it, he was ready to obey. We need to be determined to obey God when he tells us to do something. When the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and prompts you to witness to a certain person or to make a decision in the life of your family to protect them from something or to make a step by faith, whatever it may be, we need to be ready for those promptings of God. You know, God approached Abraham here in chapter 22 and revealed his plan for Abraham and his life, and this was a very necessary part of what was going on. For no man can know the mind of God unless God speaks to the man. No person can know what the will of God is for their life unless God is revealing that to them in one way or the other. And we look at God defining the command here to Abraham very clearly. Take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. You know, God was very aware that was Abraham's most dear possession, and God approached him and said, give it all to me. We need to live in a way that would be described in Romans 12, verse 1, that says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We look there in that, as Paul is begging the church of Rome to get this thought and to understand it, that we need to be living in a way where we are a living sacrifice to God. Now, I've heard that passage preached many times in my life, and the time that I remember more than any other was in Christian school chapel service. It was missions conference at our church that week, and we had a missionary that was an extremely boring fella, I can tell you that. But I still remember this illustration. This missionary to Uganda, as he's preaching to all of us teenagers, he had this offering plate made by one of the men in the church that was about this big. And he placed that offering plate on the floor, and he went and he stood in that offering plate for his whole message. And the point that he was trying to get across was that his life that God had given him needed to be an offering to God each and every day of his life. At any moment, if God calls for your service, give it to him. If God demands a change in your life, change it. If God speaks to your heart or prompts you to do something, your life is not yours. If you're a living sacrifice, if you've given it to God. So when God calls or when God commands, obey, because it's not our life. Abraham obviously was in a state of mind where when God spoke, he realized that everything he had was because of God and he was going to trust him with it and give it to him. So Abraham rose early in the morning. There in verse 3, and he left on a 45-mile journey with his son and with some servants. And Abraham on this trip was not in his home, was out under the stars. And as I was looking at this passage, they're reading there in the lesson and thinking about that. Did you think about Abraham's nights and what was going on in his mind? Knowing that as he kept getting closer and closer to the place of where the sacrifice is going to happen, he's just thinking about what God had blessed him with and given him his son, and now that son is most likely going to be taken away. And with that thought, Abraham could look into the stars and be reminded of the promise that he'd been given about 20 years before when God said, count the stars. That's how many your seed will be. Talked about the sands and how it's going to be more than you can count, and how when Abraham was just wanting one son, God had plans for many. And how God's plans are bigger than his plans. And as Abraham is approaching in obedience to God, he can look into heaven and see that reminder of the promise of God and just continuing to trust him at that point. There's no record of Abraham arguing, delaying, or Isaac throwing a fit, trying to fight for his life. You know, Isaac is most likely a young teen. Abraham is about 110 years old. And in this decision he was made, he was getting prepared to do what God had told him to do. Just a few things that we're going to go over, and then we'll be done. Abraham and what was going on here is his hands were prepared. His hands were prepared. He wasted no time. He got everything together that he needed to have to accomplish the task that had been given to him by God. And in our life, we need to realize if God has called us to do something, be prepared to do it. You know, God has called each and every one of us to be a witness, to carry the gospel to every creature. Are you prepared to do that? Is your mind ready to share the gospel with someone? Is your mind ready to help, to counsel, to disciple another Christian? Are we ready? Are we preparing our hands? His heart was prepared. You know, Abraham knew why he was there. You look here at verse 5. I love this. And Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here at the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you." Abraham knew that sacrifice was going to be made, an altar was going to be built. And even in that moment, he was intent on making sure that him and his son could worship together, that they would be able to go to the altar there and worship. His heart was where it needed to be. Abraham's mind was prepared. He had all that time to get his mind where it needed to be in prayer to God and to get the peace that only God could give through that prayer. He was totally surrendered to the command that had been given. We know the rest of the story. We know that Abraham obeyed. He was ready there to slay his son Isaac. The angel of the Lord came and spoke, and God was pleased with Abraham. And as we look at the story and as we're finishing up today, got about 4 pages left, maybe get it some other time. As we look at this story and are applying it, we look at what Abraham was going through and the steps of obedience he made and how God was pleased with him. And in our life, I think the desire of every Christian is truly in your heart to please God in all that you do. To live in such a way that God will be pleased with your life. The only way for us to live in a way that pleases God is if we live our life with both feet in the offering plate. We live our life with an attitude of complete surrender, knowing God, everything I have is yours and I'm giving it back to you. And whatever you may prompt me to do, whatever choice you may have for me to make, whatever discipline you may require of me and in my walk with you, God, I am ready and willing to be obedient to it. Are you living in a way where God will be pleased? Are you living in complete surrender each and every day? Let's pray. Lord, I love you. God, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for your word, for the story we find here in Genesis on Abraham. God, I pray that you would just do a work in each and every one of our hearts. God, I pray that if we haven't already, God, that we would surrender our whole life to you. God, that no matter what you may prompt us to do, and no matter what we may find in your word, that if you've commanded something, if you've directed us in an area, God, I pray that we would make the decision, no matter what, to live that life of surrender and obey you each and every step of the way. Well, bless us, we ask in the service to come. We ask this in your name. Amen.